Welcome, everyone. It's awesome to have you here. Hendrik, can I please invite you to the front? I just want Hendrik to give quick feedback on the winter youth camp. I don't know if you've realized, but there's a lot of incredible things happening amongst the youth in our town. And one of the reasons, we give God all the glory, but I just want to honor Hendrik and Tabitha here for a moment. Tabitha, don't you want to come stand here next to Hendrik for a second? Because they've been consistent with the youth week in, week out. The children are in their homes. Every week they are there for them. They are like shepherds to the youth, and the fruit is really showing. And they took them on an incredible winter camp. And won't you just want to give us a little bit of feedback, please?
Thanks, Werner. Vietse. Okay, so good morning, everyone. So, yeah, we had an amazing time. It was last weekend. We had our church winter camp for the teenagers. We called it hashtag growing deeper, or just growing deeper. And we focused on just growing deeper in your relationship with God. So we focused on things like reading the Bible, praying together, discipleship, and just also the Holy Spirit, the person and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the operation of just how we all belong to God, but we have a purpose and a calling. It's more than just showing up. So we spent 2.5 days together. It was at Habonim campsite. I have more pictures, but I didn't put them on there. But there were about 65 out of us kids, and we had an amazing time. We had amazing speakers in the evenings. We had worship in the mornings, and in the evenings we had games in the afternoons and in between. But more than anything, we just all switched off a little bit from technology and from everything and focused on our relationship with God. So we have amazing testimonies that came out the Sunday morning before we all left. The kids just came and they shared testimonies of how they heard the Holy Spirit for the first time, and how they prayed for someone, and how God just changed their hearts, and how they forgave people. And so we're really thankful. God is busy, as He always is busy. He only did what He can do. And as Werner said, we give Him all the glory. But thank you to everyone that contributed as well and prayed for us. And yeah, we are very excited just to see what God is doing in our youth. Thank you.
Yeah, we celebrate the work of the Lord in the life of the youth. We know that the enemy is going for our children to steal many out of the kingdom. And so we're just going to trust the Lord. And we know that the work of the Spirit is alive amongst the youth. And once we enter that harvest field, we find hearts to be open and ready. So praise the Lord. Father, this morning as we study your word, I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would be soft before you, that we would be under your hand, Lord, allowing you to cut into our hearts, show us new things about yourself and about us, Lord, taking us deeper into our relationship with you, Lord. And I also just ask for new lights to go on for believers, even those that have known you for many years. I pray for new revelation, fresh words from your mouth. I pray for anyone here that might be new around the faith, that you'd also bring them in with the voice of a father into your kingdom. I pray that you'll open each and every heart and each and every eye and each and every ear to hear and see and understand this morning what you have for us. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. For this morning, I want to spend some time in the book of Acts chapter 10. And very simply, I call this message, How the Spirit Converts and Convicts. We are on a mission in this world. We are sent into the harvest by Jesus Christ. He says, go into all the world and preach the message of His gospel. I'll be with you. And on this journey, some of us, we've been believers for quite some time. Some of us are new around here. Some of us are still searching. But on the journey, there's different challenges we face. And one of them, and this is a good thing, is we have our hearts break for people around us. Sometimes our family members, sometimes our colleagues. Sometimes we see people struggling and our heart breaks and we cry tears of prayer as we consider people. What I want to do this morning is I want to just journey us through Acts chapter 10 and remind ourselves again how the Holy Spirit touches the lives of those around us and how He wants to use us. So in the beginning, I'm going to maybe go a little bit slower because it's quite a big chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read a bit, take the story on. I'll speak through it. And then at the end, I'd like to share four things out of this case study that I trust will encourage us as we are called to stay faithful in the harvest, faithful in the work that God has given us. And then also to make our hidden agenda not hidden. We want you, if you're new around here, to fall in love with Jesus. We want to make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I trust that this morning, even if you are new around here, that there will be answers for you on your journey to encourage you and to strengthen you. Let's start in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion that was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people. Alms means giving to the poor, right? Caring for those in need. And prayed continually to God. Now, already I've got the privilege of looking back because I know where the scripture is going. Cornelius is a Gentile, which means he was not a Jew from birth. But it's interesting, in verse 2, it says it was a devout man who feared God with all his household. Now, what's happening at this moment, this is an incredible moment in the history of a church, because this would be the moment where the Holy Spirit would come upon Gentiles in front of Peter and other believers, and they would realize, wow, there's no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. Jesus Christ came to save everyone. And Cornelius and his party there at his home would be the opening of that door. Now, this scripture starts with stating that he is a devout man who feared God with all his household. What that probably means about this guy, and there's an important reason why I just want to stand still here for a moment, is he probably would have been connected to the synagogue in some way, but not be allowed all the privileges because he's not a Jew. So what that would mean is maybe there'd be a place on the outside of a synagogue where he would be allowed to experience, hear some of the talking, understand the will of God and the history of the God of Israel. And as a Gentile, God caught his attention and he drew near to the place where he is called a man that feared God and also partook in giving to those in need. Cornelius. Right, let's go on. Now, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. Right, now an angel is appearing to this Gentile man. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. The life of Cornelius has drawn God's attention. Now, here's what you must do. Send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. And then the angel, let me just talk through this. The angel explains where he's staying. He's lodging with another Simon. And then he basically sends some of his servants to go and call Peter. Now, let's go on. Verse 9, the story picks up with Peter. Now, Peter's at another location. The angel appeared to Cornelius, sent for Peter, but before the delegation that came for Peter arrives, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. We see another man devoted to God. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell in a trance. Now, I'm like that. When I get very hungry, I clutch out, okay? So right here, Peter is so hungry, he does what men do, and he falls into a trance. And He's up there praying. I'm just having fun. God is entering the moment where he's praying and leading him into a trance. Now, in this trance, once again, I'm not going to read it. Let me talk you through it. He sees an incredible vision of different types of animals and reptiles. Some of these animals are unclean. And in the vision, a voice tells him, Peter, kill and eat. You're hungry. And then he says, by no means. I will not eat unholy things. And then the voice says, do not call unholy what I have sanctified. Okay, this is what's happening on the rooftop with Peter. It's gone. Now, on the following day, what then happens is the men of Cornelius arrives at the house. Peter comes down. He's still thinking, what does it all mean? What does it mean that all things are clean? And here comes the delegation from Cornelius and said, Peter, we want you to go with us to our master Cornelius. He saw a vision. Peter stepped down and he went with them back to Cornelius, and now they are arriving at Cornelius's place. On the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. You see, Cornelius is a God-fearing man, but doesn't understand everything. Because he falls in front of the feet of Peter. Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I am too a man. Right, now we see these two men, two visions, two men. Now they're meeting up. As he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or to visit anyone of another nation. Okay. So now we are starting to see the meaning of the dream of Peter. Culturally, you know it's unlawful for a Jew to associate or visit anyone of another nation. Remember, in Peter's dream, the angel said, do not call unholy what I have sanctified. But God has shown to me that I should not call any person common or unclean. Okay, God is at work behind the scenes. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why you sent for me? Okay, Cornelius answers. He says, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house, the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Sorry, just give me a moment. There we go. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon. So he basically relays his vision to Peter. So I send for you at once. And you have been kind enough to come here. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all you have been commanded by the Lord. Peter, we are here. Now you need to speak. Why did I have to call you? And now Peter goes on and he preaches the gospel. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know, I know it's a lot of scripture, just hang on, we're going to go hit it fast in a second, just cooking you into the story. And Peter is speaking, he's saying, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. What is Peter doing? He's preaching Jesus to this people, to Cornelius and his close friends. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. He's preaching the gospel here. Not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him. He rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living of the dead. And to him the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name. Peter came to preach the gospel. Very important. The angels did not preach the gospel. There was an angel that appeared to Cornelius. It was not the mandate of the angel to preach the gospel. They had to go through the effort, through the work, to send for a man to come and preach the gospel. And he preaches the gospel. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And then, interestingly enough, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain some days. I know that was a mouthful. Here we find a man, a Gentile, Scripture says, a God-fearing man who is generous to the poor. Now he sends for a man who walked with Jesus, and the plan of God is that Peter would come and preach the gospel to him. If you put your faith in the one who died and rose, you will be saved. And the Holy Spirit falls on the people. How the Spirit converts and convicts. What happens here in this passage is a pattern for us of what God is doing in our midst, in our town, when we go out and we testify. And so I want to unpack it a little bit to help us, to give us clarity and to encourage us not to grow weary. Now the first point we're going to wrestle through a bit, and then it's going to go fast. Now what we need to understand, Acts 10:2, Cornelius, a devout man who feared God with all his household. This would be called a moral man, a good man. Even in Acts 4, the angel says, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God, but now send to Peter." What is important here to get, very important, is that the morality of Cornelius could not save him. Very important. We need to get this. The fact that Cornelius was a good man did not act as his salvation. He had to send for Peter. And when Peter came, he spoke the gospel. Cornelius, your faith needs to be on Jesus Christ. And then the Spirit fell on them. This is very important. The first thing we take out of this is that the Holy Spirit calls people to conversion, not to morality and religion. The gospel is a challenge to morality. The gospel is a challenge to my own goodness. Before I bear fruit in the Lord, it is a challenge to it. Hear me out. This is very important. Lest I say, you know what? You know those druggies down there by the sea? They need conversion. You know the things they do? The things they get up to? They need conversion. But I'm a man that give alms. I pray to God. I'm a God-fearing, good man. But those people, they need conversion. Not true. There's two types of people that needs to be converted. Well, it's all people. It's those that are lawless, that's running away from God, despising him, and also those who think they can trust on their own goodness. That's more dangerous because it might leave you with a sense of, I'm right, I'm better than that person. But here we find Peter coming to the house of a good man to tell him, you need to be converted. Place your faith in Jesus alone. Very important. I'm using this word conversion because it's a word we don't hear a lot, to be converted, but that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do with each and every one of us. We need to be converted or born again. Amen. Now, when I protest against this idea of, let's say Peter comes to me, now Jesus Christ died and rose, your sins can fall on him, but you need to be born again, you need to be converted. If I protest against that, it's because something in me wants to stand in the place of God. Let me explain. If I push back against the idea of conversion, on the one side, it might be because I'm lawless. I'm running away from the Lord. I'm doing what I want. Therefore, don't tell me what to do. I will live my life the way I want to live my life. This is my truth. I'm living life in my truth. Don't judge me. In fact, lawlessness today celebrates sin and calls it embracing yourself. Very dangerous. What I'm doing is I am putting myself in the place of God. I will do what I want to do. This is my truth. But watch out for morality on the other side, because what it says is, because I am so good, don't tell me I must be converted. Don't talk to me about being born again. I've been going to church since I was 4. Those people need to be converted, but don't come to me with those kind of stories. I'm already a good person. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Think about Cornelius. There he is, a moral man. He needs to be converted. Think about the Pharisee. In Jesus' parable, he looks at the sinner. He says, I'm glad I'm not like that man. I tithe, I give alms, I pray, look at my clothes. Luckily, I don't have to be converted. Be very careful. All people need to be born again. All people, when the Spirit comes upon us, gives us a new heart, converts us, causes us to lie down before the Father on our face and say, I see, it's not me, it's you. Are you with me this morning? The problem here with a moral man, and I'm hammering this because we need to understand that there's a difference between being born again and being a good person. Now the challenge is that for the prostitute, Mary the prostitute, the man hanging next to the cross on Jesus, he knows he's lawless, he knows he needs saving. The challenge with a moral man is they don't often know it. Let us search our hearts. The work of the Spirit teaches us that all needs to be born again and converted. What about you? What about you? And we see in Scripture Jesus challenging both. He challenges Nicodemus, be born again. Here, Cornelius, here's the gospel, be born again. We see lawless people on the cross next to Jesus, Mary the prostitute. We see all types of people being called to repentance with no distinction. Let's go on. First thing, the Spirit calls people to conversion. If that offends you a little bit, you should feel it, because that's the stumbling block of the gospel. You need to be converted. You need to be born again. Oh, let me just say one more thing about moralism. There's a whole idea of being good. It's the two brothers, right? The one that goes away, the prodigal son, the lost one. Both sons are lost. The one is lost into lawlessness, and the one is lost into morality. Look at me, Father. All right? The problem with moralism is to build yourself up, you have to measure yourself against others. So you're also looking for people, always looking for people that's more sinful than you, to say, luckily I'm not like that people. Now, sometimes in our delusion, we become pride and we think, yes, I'm so moral, look how good I am. But the other problem with it is if you're honest, you're constantly feeling guilty because you're not measuring up. You're not measuring up. And then the message of the gospel comes as good news. It's not about what you have done. It's about what he has done. Fall on him. He loves you with an everlasting love. Let's go on. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. The great thing about this moment is when the Holy Spirit fell upon the people, even in Acts 2, they heard people speak each in their own language. For maybe if they're always speaking in Hebrews, the Jews might say, oh, you see, you all must become Jews. If they're all speaking Greek, oh, you all must become Greek. But when the Spirit came, each one was praising God in their own language. What is the Spirit communicating? There's no sacred, primary, earthly culture. There's a kingdom that impacts all. Here, they walk into the house of the Gentiles and the Spirit falls on them. And the people that were with Peter, they are astonished because the Holy Spirit breaks down dividing walls between languages, cultures, to make one people. That is the work of the Spirit. He breaks down the walls of race, language, culture, and class. It is the work of the Spirit. Therefore, please follow me here. Racism, point number two, or tribalism, is a work against the Holy Spirit. It's an action against the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit tears down the walls that divides us. Racism and tribalism build up walls in order to divide us. Let it be removed from our hearts, from our church, from our small groups, from our friendship groups. Amen. It's just a case study of Acts chapter 10. Let's go on. Well, let me just say this. Let me not go too fast here. If we can just go back to that slide. In our walk with God, we'll see it. God constantly confronts us, convicts us. And one can almost use the language, converts new areas of our minds and thinking. If you are dead honest with yourself, is there a work here that the Holy Spirit can come and do in your life with that? If you are really honest with yourself, maybe this morning you can say, Lord, have a spot of my life here. I've been holding on to hatred in this way, or I've been taught by my parents or by my community. But as you grow, allow the Spirit to conquer all of you. Amen. Let's go on. To him all the prophets bear witness. This is in the message of Peter. That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's just the gospel. Jesus Christ lived and died in our place. So that whoever would believe on him, our sins will go on him. And his righteousness will go on us. Whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's the gospel. That's the simple gospel which Paul says, you know, this gospel seems like foolishness to other people, but to us who believe it, it's everything. While Peter was still saying these things, this is the gospel. The Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The sharing of the gospel is what invites the Spirit's work of conversion. Let's not get confused about what is our mandate and what lies within our gifts and what is God's mandate and what lies within His abilities. It is our job to share the gospel. Peter came all the way to say the sins of mankind fell on Jesus, guys. Next moment, the Spirit said, yes, and affirmed it with power. What about you? What about your colleague, your mother, your father, your children? What is your job? What is your mandate? It is the sharing of the good news of the gospel with words that can be understood. And then waiting on the Spirit to come. to do a work of conversion. And how powerful he can do it after you have left. Sometimes in the night, early in the mornings, people wake up. What's going on here? It's the Spirit. He's at work. Here at that moment, it happened. Sometimes it happens after the moment of sharing. I am here to encourage you that in this town, in your world, in your life, it is our mandate to share the message of this gospel with words that can be understood. To allow the Spirit to do a work we don't fully understand. Isn't that amazing? It is here for us to study and observe. And I just want to encourage people this morning that's been sharing to your loved ones, to your family. Don't give up. Don't give up. And there's a place for saying into a child or a parent's or a sibling's life what they are doing wrong to help them. But don't preach moralism. Preach the gospel. Don't help them only to behave well. Because they'll do it when you look or when you come over. But if they are transformed in their heart, they can be born again. Are you with me this morning? The work of the Spirit. Very importantly, we're almost done. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality." And a little bit later, those who were with him, the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, were also amazed. Where we have to understand that this is Peter who stood up after Pentecost, preached the message. Many people got saved, got baptized. This man has done incredible works. He's seen as a mature disciple, but he does not know everything. Now I understand that God shows no partiality. What is happening? He's learning as he's going. New things are being shown to him and to the believers. They are not the gurus and Cornelius and his friends, the subjects. Now you listen to us, we've got it down. They are also learning on the mission field, on their journey. They're softening their heart. Wow, God, we didn't know this. And the last thing I want to say this morning is that during the time of ministry, both unbelievers and believers were convicted. God is not done with you if you know his name and have bowed your knee. He's still busy with you. And as you go out in this town, as you minister, as you grow, as you come to church, he constantly wants to conquer deeper areas of your heart until the day you die and go home or until he comes back. What that means is that in one way, we are all here together for the same reason, to grow in the Lord. Some of us to grow into maturity, to lay down new idols of the heart. Some of us to get introduced to the faith. But that day in Cornelius' house, both the believers and the unbelievers were impacted by the love of God. And here we are. If you are a part of this congregation, you've been coming here for months. Every time you come here to worship and hear the word, it's a time to be impacted all over again. If you are new around here and you're experiencing this impact and you feel like you're out of place, no, you're not. We all should be constantly hearing the word of the Spirit speaking into our lives. We're yielding more areas to him. In one way, we are all the same. We are doing this together. Amen? What a privilege to know a Father that is at work in our hearts, never leaves us. And so let me say, just read the words of the gospel before we finish off, that the Spirit might have his way this morning. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds you have been healed. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have heard from Christians, from family, from people like me, if you've understood that once you've reached a certain goal of morality, then you will be acceptable to God. You've heard the gospel the wrong way around. You come as you are to him who did everything for you, and you allow your heart to be won by him, born again or converted, and then he will build you after you have become a son and a daughter of a king. That's how you enter the kingdom, with humility and in awe of wonder of the work of Jesus, lest we be in awe and wonder of our own goodness. Amen. Let's stand this morning in our place and let's respond. Let's allow the Lord to work with us this morning. What is the Lord saying to you this morning? Because he's speaking to everyone. Mother, father, young, old. Whether you have not committed your life to him or whether you've known him for a long time, he's busy with each and every one of us. Let's be a responsive church. Let's respond to him. What is he whispering to you this morning? I want to make a few invitations this morning, and I want us to have the body pray for each other here in front and really love one another into a deeper relationship with the Lord. We want to be here for you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will complete the work that you've started this morning in hearts. Give us the ability, Lord, to love one another, care for one another, and carry one another into your arms. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, we welcome you here in this place. Let's just welcome the Lord where you are standing. If you can pray, let's just welcome the Lord in this place. Let's yield ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you can pray in the Spirit, let's just pray for a moment. Just give him all the glory in this place. What a privilege we have to know him. We worship you in this place this morning, Lord. We worship you in this place. We worship you in this place. I just want all the small group leaders and facilitators to quickly come to the front to just be here. We're going to pray for some people here. So I want to encourage you to respond if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. If you want to just commit yourself once again to the work of the Lord in the field, I want you to quickly come out and say, Lord, like Peter went and just spoke the gospel, I commit myself once again to your work. Once again, I represent myself to you. To use me. I'm speaking to believers, and I'd like you to quickly come out. 1, 2, 3. Quickly come out and receive prayer. We want to pray for you. We want to anoint you and send you back into the missions field. We are those people. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you if you are sick in your body, and if you know of people that are sick, we want to pray with you for them. Quickly come out that we can just pray together with you. We want to be a church. We want to be a family together this morning. Thank you for those people showing faith. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? You are sick, if you know of someone that's sick and you really want just someone to pray with you and stand in the gap with you for those people. Right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's respond this morning. If you are new around here and you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, we'd also like to pray with you. If you're not sure how to pray, what to say, how to come near to Him, someone wants to pray with you. And I want you to quickly come out to the front so that we can also pray with you. People are praying all around. Thank you so much for your faith. Awesome. Thank you so much. Wow. Then there's a group of people I want to pray for as well. If you feel like the moment you pray into a roof. It's almost like you don't feel like you've got the power. It's something's not connecting. We want to pray with you. We want to trust the Lord to just open the pipe, that connection between you and Him. If that's you, will you quickly come to the front? We also want to pray with you. We've got people here to help you, to love you, and to minister to you. Can we get some ladies facilitators here, please? Thank you so much. Awesome. Okay, if you are in the crowd, I'd like you just to take a seat. Maybe just pray for a moment in your seat. You're welcome to pray with a friend or with a family member if you want to. But let's just reflect for a moment. What is God saying to you this morning? You can pray for yourself or you can pray with your friend. But there's no spectators here this morning. We are all partaking together in the name of Jesus.